plenty of prop bets to keep an eye on, like who's going to win the coin toss. I mean, that matters.
We'll talk about that coming up at Football at 50. Let's talk Utah recruiting with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at @DSorensen, publisher at Ute Zone, part of the Scout Network. It is Dan Sorensen. Dan, thanks for joining us
again. Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, great. What's the latest with the superstar of the state here, Jay Tufele from Bingham? Everybody wants him. He's going to take a trip to Utah here in the final weekend. What's your gut feeling on Jay Tufele right now?
You know, with Jay, you know, it's an interesting situation for Jay. You know, the highest regarded in-state recruit that I've seen in a long, long time, maybe ever. You know, and he's got a decision to make. You know, I know that the people that we talk to down at USC think that, you know, that he's practically a lock to go down there. But, you know, Jay's going to have to make the decision. Does he want to go to the big money program, the big name program, or does he want to stay home and play in front of friends and family? And ultimately, that's what Utah is trying to sell him on, is that whole hometown hero aspect, stay close to home. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that know Jay. He doesn't really talk a lot. He doesn't really reveal what his thoughts are. They're kind of split 50-50 between Utah and USC. You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a Ute, mostly because I think that prospect of playing in front of his family and staying close to home is going to be a big deal to him. Could be wrong, but that's kind of what my gut's telling me.
And then what's the latest on kind of the next biggest guy on Utah's recruiting list? That's Jalen Johnson. He seemed really solid with Utah for a while. I know recently people have freaked out over deleting tweets or unpinning tweets that had the Utah's name in it. Do the Utes feel confident they've got him locked in? Is it still going to really come down to a big push in the last couple of days of the recruiting cycle?
Utah is going to have to fight until the very end to hang on to him. The sense that I'm getting up on the hill is that they're pretty confident they are going to hang on to him. ASU has made a huge push for him and trying to sway him. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's probably going to stick with Utah.
Is there another guy in this class that's committed to Utah or already signed that you think could be a potential immediate impact player for the Utes next year?
Well, you know, Utah's got the three JUCO guys that are two of them are already on campus, and one of them is going to come later in Blair, the safety, Corian Ballard, the free safety, and then of course Jordan Agassiva, the offensive lineman. All three of those guys, you know, are coming in and will I think play a big role this fall. Corian Ballard, especially, you know, he's a guy that Marcus Williams is gone. Utah's going to need somebody to play center field. That's what he does best. That's really what Utah sold him on, is if Marcus leaves, you know, this is your job to lose. And so he's going to come in spring football and really try to prove that he's the guy that can step up and be that NFL caliber talent that's protecting the back end of the defense. The Agassiva kid is a guy that, you know, Utah's got some holes to fill on the offensive line, and this is a big road grader, arguably the strongest JUCO offensive lineman in the country. He's got great footwork, and he's a guy that I expect to either step in at that left guard spot that Isaac Asiata left, or maybe even at the right tackle spot so that Jackson Barton can step in and play left tackle.
Utah, regardless, as we talked to Dan Sorensen about Utah's recruiting class, probably needs to bring in a tackle, and you generally don't trust that to a true freshman. Is there anyone coming in on a last-minute visit that the Utes would feel comfortable if they were to commit that they could throw at left or right tackle?
There's a guy named George Moore. He's out of the College of San Mateo in Northern California. He's actually currently on a visit to Baylor as we speak, but he'll be in on a visit this weekend. He's a four-star recruit, former Washington State commit, but he's got schools like Oregon, Baylor, of course, the Utes after him. You know, he's a guy that Utah, I think, would feel very comfortable sticking at a tackle spot. You know, I've seen a couple of full games of his. He's you know, big, tall, long guy. He's got the type of body that you want at the position. I think the Utes are going to have to do some selling to him. You know, he was pretty high on Utah a couple of weeks ago, but as he's been taking visits, his eyes have been open to a lot of other schools, and so Utah's going to have to push hard if they're going to get him in the fold. But he's somebody to definitely to pay attention to.
Correct me if I'm wrong on Kavika Luafatasanga last year. I guess he was David Luafatasanga. He was a very late commit in the process, like maybe just a day or two before signing day. Is there a position Utah might be going after in similar fashion this year? I know you just mentioned George Moore, potentially the late addition at tackle. Is there another position that Utah might be going after a guy very late in the process?
Oh, there's several spots left to fill, and you're going to see guys that are waiting all the way until the day before or signing day itself to commit. You know, so Utah is probably going to bring in a couple of wide receivers, and they've got three guys really on the radar that are strong possibilities. Definitely linebacker, defensive end is a big need still that they haven't really filled yet. And so, you know, they had a couple of defensive ends on campus last week. There's a guy named Kelly Sanders. He's a current commit to Washington State that I'm really interested in. And from the people we're talking to, it sounds like Utah's got a legitimate shot to flip him. And so he might be kind of that category of a guy that meets a really big need late that can come in and commit. But we probably won't hear anything from a lot of these guys until, Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
Dan, when we look at Utah's running back situation next year, you've got Armand Shine coming back, assuming he can get healthy. Zach Moss is going to be a sophomore. They had some guys who transferred in last year who didn't play a whole lot, and guys who got injured in the first game they appeared in. They seem pretty set at running back, but does Troy Taylor's new system mean they need to target a specific type of running back or a guy that they can kind of line up all over the field? Is that something Utah's chasing, and who might they be looking at?
Yeah, they're definitely chasing running backs right now. And really, a bulk of the guys they're chasing are guys that can get the ball in space and make things happen. So they're looking for speed-type guys, you know, guys that are a lot like Troy McCormick, who's in the program right now. One guy to pay attention to is T.J. Green. He was committed to Oregon State for a long, long time, visited Utah over the weekend, decommitted yesterday from Oregon State. I know that Fred Whittingham was in on a home visit with him last night, and he's a guy that we could very easily see flipping to the Utes. He's a little bit of a smaller back. He's not quite as big as Joe Williams was, but he's a speed guy. He's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. When you get the ball to him in the open field, you know, he can make people miss and really make defenses pay. And I think that's really the type of back that Utah is looking for right now. A lot of the late offers that have been going out have been to that type of back. And so I would expect to see a lot of those types of guys, not only for this cycle, but maybe the next recruiting cycle going forward in Troy Taylor's offense.
How many guys, ideally, what would be the total number of prospects Utah would like to sign this year in about a week?
Total number will be somewhere in between 22 and 24, depending on how many LDS missionaries that they've got. You know, there'll be a handful of sign and send. This is kind of a weird year for that. Usually they've got, you know, four or five guys that they're planning on going on missions. As of right now, none of their commits are planning on serving LDS missions. And so a lot of the guys that will be in that category haven't committed yet. And so we'll probably see a couple of those guys, and we'll probably sign them to letters of intent, even though we won't see them for 2 years. But I'd expect anywhere between 22 and 24 before everything's said and done.
You can find him on Twitter at dsorensen, publisher at Ute Zone, part of the Scout Network. Dan, really great stuff. We'll try and talk to you again before National Letter of Intent Day.
Thanks, Dan.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.